Why does the 90s suddenly feel everywhere again? Like, scroll through TikTok for 5 minutes and you'll see it. Grainy VHS filters, baggy jeans, claw clips, old school camcorders, even the music. It's like a decade a lot of people don't even remember is somehow becoming the aesthetic of right now. So what's going on here? Is it just nostalgia doing what nostalgia always does? Or is this actually about how we're really feeling in 2026?
About home is the rain and the greenness and the pint of harp and the evening before us and friends coming in and the pint of harp and Sally O'Brien and the way she might look at you and joining the chorus.
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness or Duder or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
Turn! Turn!
I don't think we can turn anymore.
I just don't think it's gonna fit.
Oh, yeah, it will. Come on, up, 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 up! Yes! Here we go. Pivot! Pivot! Pivot!
It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And the version of the 90s that we are seeing now, it's very cool, it's very effortless, but it's also very edited. And today on the podcast, we're going to dig into why Gen Z is so drawn to the 90s, what's real, what's been romanticised, and what it might say about the world we're living in right now. And I'm delighted to be joined by journalist Kate Henshaw and broadcaster Serena Bellissimo to separate the aesthetic of the time from the reality. Serena and Kate, you're both very welcome to News Talk Daily.
I'm so happy to be here talking 90s.
I have spent the last hour and a half on my WhatsApp to my friends, my best friends today, who were my school friends, and we all hung out in the 90s. And we were sort of reminiscing on what the 90s was like. And we went back to a picture that I found from the 1990s. It was a Saturday night. It was 1997. We're all in the bathroom of one person's house getting ready. I'm going to go to the grill, which is on Letterkenny Main Street. And I'm wearing sus jeans, or maybe it's my ex-works. I can't quite see from the picture, and a string vest. Absolutely standard. The makeup, well, everybody's brought something, right? It's a collective affair. There's number 7 colour corrective moisturiser. If you weren't green, you weren't fit to be seen. So you started with that, no matter what your skin tone was. Then the foundation, it's Elizabeth Arden Flawless Finish. It doesn't matter what colour it is, right? You can go 2 shades too dark, 2 shades too pale. The colour of your face and your body, your neck, they don't match, but that doesn't matter either. Then it's on with a bit of Rimmel Coffee Shimmer or Rimmel Heather Shimmer and Black Cherry Lipstick. Everybody wears it.
Black Cherry Lipstick?
Yeah, and whether you were blonde, brunette, black hair or ginger, everybody wore the same lipstick. It was a pound in the pound store and I had Electric Blue Mascara. That was just for me, right? Somebody has taken this picture and it's likely to be Julie's disposable camera. She always had one. There's no filter. There's no second chance. My eyes are closed in the picture. That's just the way it is. We're going to head into the nightclub. There's 2 rooms. There's Club 2000, if you wanted to rave, or there's Bella's. That's the Freakers room. That's where I'm headed. Even though we're actually listening to Imbop by Hanson, Praise You by Fatboy Slim, and we're going to do that weird dance with your hands in a prayer around the dance floor, and you actually don't care. If it's a good night, you're going to get the shift. And it's really easy because your mates just set you up with somebody. And for a brief second, you can pretend you're Rachel from Friends and he's Ross, because let's face it, you actually got her hair cut. But it's the Letterkenny version, so it's not spot on. You stay in your mate's house. On Sunday, you head to Mass, even though you've had no sleep. And if you're really lucky and it's a bank holiday, you're going to get to go to Extravision. But you've that awful, awful task of picking a movie that a family of 7 aged between 6 months and 40 all like. And if you're really lucky and it's a special weekend, you get to go to Quinsworth and you get to buy one of those pizzas where you overload everything. The middle never cooks, but it doesn't matter because you've gone for every single
soggy
topping.
Middles.
It is the absolute epitome of a perfect 90s weekend.
Ciara, I am literally, that was amazing. I am sat there right now. I feel like I am smack bang back in the 80s, 90s. What, like, what?
So, come on. What was yours?
Mine was, Australia, a little bit different, but it was the same. It was the getting together with mates, and it probably was the nights out, because I came of age in the 90s. So it was like figuring out who I was. It was the getting together. It was that we were a bit more muted, right? So I never really wore makeup and stuff. It was just like the brown lipsticks or the red lipstick. It was the chitter chatter, the gossip, the getting ready to go raving somewhere. And then for me, I think the perfect thing was after a massive night out on the Saturday night, going to the beer garden on the Sunday and just hanging out with your baggy jeans on. Again, the maybe not a string top, but like a vest top and wearing, I was going to say thongs, where in Ireland, wearing flip-flops. And just, there was just this freedom, this innocence. But I wonder, was it also because we were coming of age? That comes with being youthful, doesn't it?
But like when I think back to the 90s and that picture that I paint there, it definitely feels really familiar to me, but I wonder if, is it a bit too perfect?
This sounds a bit like rose-tinted glasses. This is my image of what the 90s was like. I think of friends. I think of, you know, all of your mates living in a big city somewhere for rent that was much cheaper than it is now.
And it was.
And it was. And having this incredible, like, city life. All of everything you just described is what I think of when I think of the 90s. But was it actually like that? Was it as good as my generation thinks it was?
I think it was. But again, I think when we're romanticising it, and I think when we romanticise all different decades, we never romanticise it from the eyes of a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old. So we're always romanticising it from the eyes of youth. And in doing that, you're already looking at the world differently. Because when you are young, and especially like when you're in your teens, coming into your 20s, life seems limitless. It seems like you can go out there and take on the world. And it is all about having fun. If you're lucky, right? It's about having fun. You have all this disposable income. You can save for trips. You don't have the responsibilities. And you are living the friend's lifestyle. Like, what are we romanticising of the 90s? Friends, Gilmore Girls. Like, it's all the youth culture.
We are seeing this everywhere again. We're seeing it in fashion. We're seeing it in music. We're seeing it even in how people are editing their photos. First of all, Kate, bring me through all the trends that we're seeing.
So fashion is a huge one, obviously, with the rise of baggy jeans, the fall of skinny jeans. Skinny jeans have completely fallen from grace, even now that we've moved back to low-waisted jeans. They're still often either flared or like even wide leg and really baggy and really that kind of really like, oh, I just threw these on look. You know, I just threw on a tank top and it might have some glitter on it. But, you know, I just really rolled out of bed and you're seeing like messy hair come back. The Rachel haircut had a huge moment on TikTok a couple of years ago that really kind of layered. I mean, I kind of cut my hair like that, to be honest. You know, I got the curtain bangs that are very 90s. Getting layers back in your hair. You've seen this kind of move away from the, you know, the very 2010s, long, straight, all one length hair, or maybe just a slight layer in the back, to seeing this choppy, messy look that goes really well with these effortless, quote unquote effortless, because we all know it's not actually really effortless, jeans. Obviously, low-waisted jeans are so incredibly back, whether I like it or not. I personally am not a fan. Makeup as well. Like, you're talking about brown lipsticks at the start of this. They are so back. Lip liner is huge. I mean, back when I started using makeup in the 2010s, you know, when I was a teenager, you didn't have a lip combo, as people call it today, where you have your lip, you have your lip liner, you have your lipstick and your lip gloss. Lip gloss is so back. We went from having really matte, cracked, dry lips, honestly, you know, your Kylie Jenner lip kits in the 2010s, to going back to this very 90s glossy lip over a very dark brown lipstick. I think music is incredibly back as well. But I think the fact that there's been a lot of reunion tours recently, you think of like Oasis last year, obviously had a huge moment because they had this big reunion tour, and you have a whole new generation that not necessarily discovering them for the first time, but would have been music of their childhood. So you have a lot of people kind of rearing their heads back up as well, which is contributing to this 90s obsession.
You, Serena?
Yeah, I think what brought this all back as well earlier this year was Love Story. I think, you know, seeing Carolyn Bessette and JFK, and they brought, now look, none of us had that type of life, right? You needed the money to live the life that they were living. But it was that effortlessness, that lightness. I mean, it wasn't all rainbows and lollipops, right? But it was, I think now the world, Look, the world has always been a heavy place to live in, but it has never, ever felt as, well, for me personally, I think, and a lot of other people could probably say the same, it's never felt as heavy as it feels right now. And so the 90s were not that heavy. It was, I do remember going into the 90s going, wow, I really do feel like I can take on the world. The fact that I'm a woman, more power to me. I can do whatever I want. I can be whoever I want. I can hang out with my girls. I don't have to, you know, get married and have children. I can live the life I want to live. And I think that's, we're all pining for a bit of lightness, I think. And it just looked so effortlessly cool. And it wasn't. It was hard to look that cool.
It wasn't though, really, was it? I mean, you didn't really have any choice. Do you know what I mean? You just shopped on the county seat up the main street or Flip and Derry. There was two options. As I said, with the makeup, there was only one makeup counter. Everybody shared the same stuff. There was no wild choice. So but, I don't think it was that difficult, actually.
In saying that, and again, I have a different lived experience because I grew up in Australia. In saying that, like, I think what started happening, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kate, but like in the early noughties and like into the 2010s, people started wanting to look like each other. And in the 90s, it was a sin. If you went out and you and your mates had the same colour combo or even like a top that was the same, it was a sin. For a while there, it was almost like a proud thing if a group of girls or a group of lads went out and you were all wearing the exact same things. Like it was like in the 90s, it felt like you were allowed to express yourself a little bit more. In the years, like these latter years, it feels like everyone's gone into wearing a uniform of sort and not knowing who they are and just following the crowd. So is that something that we love about the 90s, that you can have your own creative expression?
Yeah, I was thinking back to the 90s and who you could be. You know, what were you into? Were you a raver? Were you into hip-hop? Were you into grunge? Were you into Britpop? You know, there were all of these different cultures and identities and styles that all ran parallel, and you could be any one of them. Whereas I also do look at the noughties and the, are they the tennies? What are they called?
What do we call them?
I say 2010s.
Yeah,
it doesn't exactly roll off
we'll
the tongue
that
though.
Okay, we'll edit that. I look at the noughties and I look at the 2010s and think everybody was the same. Yeah. There was just this homogenous identity and a certain standard that you had to live up to.
There really is. And I think that, I mean, the 2010s really had a lot of positivity when it came to things like body image. And it was kind of peak time for body positivity. But you did have this very homogenous look.
So do you think this is a pushback then against how polished and curated everything feels?
Definitely. I think we've seen a massive shift towards individualization and like people really trying to carve out more of an individual identity, and a pushback, I suppose, on doing stuff because it's trendy. And even though we are talking about how trendy the 90s is, we're looking at a time period where, like you say, people were able to express their individuality a bit more. And there is a lot more variety, I think, in the last couple of years, probably since COVID or so, when the 90s trend kind of took off, I suppose, 2022-ish. People are pushing and longing for more individual identity. People are sick of that, you know, very monotone, very just samey look. And I think people are just getting sick of it because we're so affronted with these trends, and the trend cycle moves so quickly these days that you can't keep up. So a lot of friends of mine would just say, well, OK, I'm just, you know, I like these jeans. I bought them 3 years ago. They still fit me. I'm just going to wear them. And yeah, I might throw on a tank top with them and like be a bit trendy in a different way, but I'm not going to be buying whatever's on the high street next week because it's going to be different the week after.
Now, there is a tension here because, as we have said repeatedly, the 90s for me certainly felt a bit effortless, and only effortless because there wasn't all of these trends being pushed at you. You know, I felt like you had choice there. But on the other hand, the 90s did have pretty intense body standards.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really my issue with the 90s trend coming back, because, I mean, you think 90s, you think that heroin chic look. You had, the 90s were really an era as well, I suppose it kind of started in the 80s, where supermodels were becoming massive celebrities in their own right. And along with that came the body standards that they brought. And these are beautiful women. And there's, I should say, for the record, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being thin as long as you're healthy and happy in yourself. But for that to be the standard, and for us to be moving so rapidly back towards this skinny culture, and it's done now in the same way that it was back then, where, you know, the bread was the most evil thing in the world. I often hear like my mom talking about how like bread was literally in the 90s was the most evil thing in the world. And if you ate even a slice of bread, you were going to be the fattest person in the world and nobody would like you. And it would just spiral out of control. We see that now with the return of low rise jeans. The body standard has moved so far away from the peak of body positivity in the 2010s, where it was thick thighs save lives. It was, you know, the pushback against things like having a thigh gap, having your ribs showing, having your collarbone showing, you know, when the peak popularity of people like Lizzo. I mean, even the Kardashians were like flaunting their curves and being, you know, really loud and proud with these bigger bodies. And now we have seen this return to, we've now seen this return to this skinny culture. And I think you see that in the rise, I suppose, of low rise jeans. But it's really disheartening to see, because we got to such a good place. We got to such a good place of this radical self-acceptance. And now you have people, now I see on my TikTok For You page every day, people pushing gut health treatment and, you know, green juices and maybe have a protein shake instead of having a bowl of cereal or a slice of toast in the morning. Like, diet culture has come back along with the 90s trend. So we can talk about the fun haircuts and the fun makeup and the nostalgia around all of it. But we also do have to acknowledge that us going back to a place where heroin chic is the standard is really, really bad, especially for young women.
And I know you felt very uncomfortable, Serena, with some of the jokes that you heard in The Devil Wears Prada 2.
Yeah, now look, and they are funny jokes, right? And we all go, ha, ha, ha. But still, we're joking about, oh, you're going to have that piece of bread, or, oh, I'm having chips. And if we, and it literally was just a throwaway line of, oh, yes, no, I did order those fries. But when you have them with two people, the calories don't count. And it's those throwaway lines, right? So people go, oh, we're joking about it. Can't we joke anymore? But I know, as someone who went through the 90s and was constantly felt like my body was being commented on, even if it wasn't being commented on, just by what you were seeing on TV, by having Victoria Beckham being weighed.
Squat thrust, you know, yeah. Circuit training. Is your weight back to normal?
Yeah, it is.
Can I check? Do you mind?
Oh, no, you did this to Jerry, didn't you?
Come on.
No, but Jerry was like really small.
Yeah, but it's all right.
This is horrible.
She only got to number two, it's all right.
No. Yeah, number two's great.
Is it all right, number two? Okay. You can afford number two, can't you?
Or by having a look at, you know, you had magazines everywhere and it was like, look at that flab, and they were just bent over, or Jessica Simpson's fat.
Bridget Jones.
Yeah, and it's just, it has this long-lasting effect. And I think I do get worried when we start joking about stuff like that, because it's not, and especially in a film that's all about fashion. And I just, yeah, that's one thing that scares me, because it's something that lasts forever. I was at the school gates yesterday. I was talking to one of my son's friend's grandmothers. She's 75. She had just come back from Slimming World. At 75, she's still trying to drop pounds. And I'm just like, you are beautiful. And I know, you know, it's individual choices and stuff. But the fact that we think we need to be beautiful by losing more weight, it's just something that has a larger impact than we know. And in the 90s, it was 90% female focused. Now it's impacting our boys as well. So it's it's everybody is being impacted by this. And the effects are quite harmful.
There is a whole other side to this conversation, which I think is really interesting. And I think it's the idea that the 90s were disconnected, that they were more mystery filled than today. And that allowed for less anxious, more carefree daily life without the pressure of a 24/7 digital presence.
Absolutely.
Are people craving that?
Absolutely. I mean, craving the disconnect. Now it is impossible to be unaware of anything happening in the world. And I suppose that feeds into the trend cycle I was talking about. But you are so connected to everything and everyone. And those nights out that you were talking about when we started talking, you would be sitting at those nights out, probably having a good time today. But you'd also be thinking, oh, will I post that photo on my Instagram story? Will I post the mirror selfie that I took earlier? Did I look good in it? Does my left eye look kind of weird, though? Like, maybe my arm looks kind of big when it's at that angle. And these thoughts are almost subconscious, because I do remember a time before an iPhone, just about. I had, my first phone was a Nokia. I think of people my brother's age. My brother's 19. He has no concept of a time before smartphones. He grew up playing Angry Birds. He does not remember a time before the internet was everywhere and before social media was everywhere. And I think we do look back at these decades in the 80s and the 90s and long for a time when we didn't have to worry about these things and we didn't have to think about these things, because it's very easy to tell people to disconnect. And it's very easy to tell people, you know, why don't you just delete your social media? But that's just not how the world works these days. We long for connection in all ways, but there's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of our world that is conducted on social media now. And I think a lot of people of my generation would just love for it to not exist for a while, not to have to choose to disconnect, but just not even have the option of opening Instagram or opening TikTok.
Mm. It's really interesting you say that, because a lot of people were like, oh, you know, everyone's not in the moment now, not everyone's taking photos. And I never thought of that, because in the 90s, I mean, you were talking about the photo you had, Kira. We did. Digital cameras were always there. My 90s are well documented, but I never thought about the fact that it wasn't documented with the rest of the world. So I have it there, but the rest of the world weren't judging what I'm documenting.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see people reclaiming that analog technology, like vinyl, like CDs, like disposable cameras. And what I find so interesting about the 90s is that it was the last era before the internet took over the world and social media became all-consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. I mean, and we will never go back to that as well. I think that is where the longing comes from as well. There's a lot of people now that are in their, I'm 25, so like anyone really born after the year 2000 has no concept of what it's like to not have to think about that. And it's so interesting you talk about the rise of digital cameras. Like they're the kind of the aesthetic of the 90s and even down to digital and disposable cameras. And also, personally, I just think everyone looks really good in digital camera photos. But They are also so on the rise, and that does create that little bit of disconnect as well, where you think, you know, at least you have to upload the photos to your laptop or to your phone before you can think about, okay, will I post this on my Instagram story or will I post it on my grid? It does create a little bit of that disconnect. So it's funny that it manifests that way as well.
So basically what we're saying is that this revival of the 90s, it's a conscious rejection of the algorithmic sameness that flattens modern taste, which I think we've been watching over the last two decades, and this craving for a slower paced identity that's in contrast to the overstimulating world that we're living in now because of AI and social media. So is this much more than just ordinary nostalgia that every generation has had for previous generations?
I think so. I think it is more. I think it is because there is this, I mean, there's before the internet and after the internet, and you can kind of split the timeline of society into that way. I mean, there's never really been a bigger change that happened quicker than the internet, the rise of social media. And I think there is this really conscious rejection on one side. I mean, I would kind of split the 90s trend and the intentionality behind it into two sections. You have the skinny culture and the rise of heroin chic, which I think is the negative side of the return of the 90s. And I think it is quite intentional, and these things are being pushed, and they are being pushed by the beauty industry. But then you have the side that you were just talking about, and that longing for being an individual in the world, not subscribing to a trend, not being completely bound by these trends, and creating that little bit of disconnect between yourself and your phone, even if it's just taking the time to upload your photos after a night out.
And also being part of a community. You can still be an individual while also being part of a community. I think that's what we're craving too.
Yeah, interesting. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out and how successful people are at holding on to the things that you just mentioned, Kate. Well, thank you both so much for joining us here on News Talk Daily. What are your feelings on this obsession with the 90s? Did you grow up in this heralded era? Was it really everything it was cracked up to be? And do you have concerns about some of the negative aspects of the 90s and the fact that they perhaps are taking root again, particularly when it comes to things like body image and women and men, as Serena talked about there? Drop me an email. I really would love to hear from you on this. newstalkdaily@newstalk.com, or you can get me on Instagram @officialKiraD. Until tomorrow morning. Goodbye.